Good morning. Chris and I are going to be talking about worker exposure to silica during countertop manufacturing, finishing, and installation. And this is based on a hazard alert that came out a little bit earlier this year. The objectives of our talk are to describe cases of silicosis among natural and manufactured stone countertop workers in the U.S. and abroad, to describe what is known about silica overexposure among U.S. stone countertop workers, and to describe workplace practices to decrease silica overexposure in stone countertop work sites. Silicosis is a progressive disabling disease that causes permanent lung damage. It's caused by the inhalation of crystalline silica, which is a form of silica that's found in sand, granite, soil, and other minerals. Quartz is the most common form of silica. Symptoms of silicosis include shortness of breath, cough, and fatigue. Unfortunately, we don't have information on the nationwide prevalence of silicosis. It's underreported because of lack of recognition and long latency, but two states have had formal surveillance for silicosis in the past, and during 1993 to 2011 found 771 confirmed cases. Other silica-related diseases are lung cancer, COPD, kidney disease, tuberculosis, and autoimmune disease. In May 2014, the Texas Department of State Health Services was notified of a case of silicosis involving a 37-year-old previously healthy Hispanic male who was a non-smoker. He developed symptoms after working for 8 years fabricating stone countertops at a company in Texas. And this is the first known U.S. case of silicosis among stone countertop workers. Silicosis with progressive massive fibrosis, or PMF, which is the most severe form of silicosis, was diagnosed by chest X-ray and CT, and severe lung disease was demonstrated by both imaging and pulmonary function testing. He was reassigned to a dust-free job, but he remains oxygen-dependent and is currently being monitored for lung transplantation. This is an example chest X-ray. To the left is a normal chest X-ray, and to the right is a chest X-ray of silicosis with PMF, where you can see large confluent white masses bilaterally. We got interested in this occupational hazard after reports from other countries demonstrated the risk of silicosis among stone countertop workers, including two case reports from Spain. The first described three quartz countertop workers aged 32 to 37 years who had an average occupational exposure of about 17 years before developing silicosis. The second described six quartz countertop workers aged 26 to 37 years from three different companies whose occupational exposure ranged from 5 to 12 years before developing silicosis. Another study from Spain described the results of a cluster of silicosis cases among quartz workers. And when we talk about quartz countertops, we're generally talking about manufactured stone, not natural stone. Initially, three cases of silicosis were detected, and all worked in the manufacture and installation of marble and quartz kitchen countertops. Active case finding was then performed among symptomatic colleagues of ill workers, and during 2009 to 2012, 47 silicosis cases were identified among quartz workers. The median age at diagnosis was only 33 years, median years of employment was 11, and they were not able to perform dust measurements in any of the workplaces. 46 of the 47 workers completed questionnaires, 100% manufactured quartz countertops in 12 small family businesses in one province in Spain. 16 cases came from one business. Wet methods were reported to be used in 33% of workplaces. The ventilation system was reported to be ineffective, that's a typo, ineffective in 54% of workplaces. The use of personal protective equipment was reported by 33%, and access to appropriate respirators was reported by only 7% of workers. Israel has also had some cases of silicosis among stone countertop workers. A retrospective analysis was performed on all silicosis patients referred for evaluation to Israel's National Lung Transplantation Program during 1997 to 2010. They identified 25 patients with silicosis, and 100% of these patients had a history of dry-cutting manufactured stone for kitchen and bathroom countertops. The mean occupational exposure was 17 years with a range of 10 to 40 years, and two patients at that time had PMF. But what do we know about the U.S.? Like I said, we don't have any formal nationwide surveillance, but we do know that there's been a continuing rise in the popularity of natural and manufactured stone products in the U.S., and that can increase the risk of more workers being exposed to silica. We know that quartz imports have been increasing every year for the last few years, and natural stone imports have also increased. Unfortunately, we don't have an accurate gauge of the total number of companies and workers involved. Many of these companies are likely to be smaller companies. The use of contractors is common. And one study estimated that about 36,000 workers fabricated granite countertops in the U.S. And that's only granite. This is a list of the types of natural stone that are generally used in the U.S. Granite is most frequently used, and then we also have sandstone, slate, quartzite, marble, and limestone. Each type of stone has a different amount of silica, and that is demonstrated here. Engineered or manufactured stone, which is generally what we mean when we're talking about quartz countertops, usually has at least 93% silica. Quartzite, quartzitic sandstone, and sandstone also have high levels. Granite has between 10 and 45% of silica, and slate and soapstone have varying levels of silica.
Thanks, Kristen. So the second half of the presentation, I wanted to talk about really what we were trying to address with this hazard alert. We wanted to look at the question of whether or not U.S. natural and manufactured stone countertop workers are at risk for silica overexposure. Over the last number of years, the stone industry has done a lot to try to improve education and implementation of dust controls and other types of controls for workers in some stone countertop work sites in the U.S., but we still have a good amount of evidence, based on what I'll talk about in the next coming slides, that support the fact that there continues to be overexposures, and exposures are not controlled in certain types of countertop fabrication workshops. And that's supported by studies we'll look at from the peer-reviewed literature, as well as OSHA and NIOSH inspection data. So here, we're looking at a study from a group of researchers at the University of Oklahoma who looked at silica and dust control methods at 47 countertop fabrication facilities in that state. And while this isn't necessarily representative of the entire U.S., it does give us a good picture of what the control methods and exposures may look like in this group of shops that they studied. And in the particular study that we looked at, 21% reported using wet methods in all of their fabrication steps from start to finish on their jobs. But almost three-quarters reported using dry methods in at least one step. So there's at least one point in the work process where workers have a significant chance of being overexposed to silica dust. 9% reported using dust collection or suppression systems, and all of the shops mentioned that they used respiratory protection. Importantly, though, there were no shops whose respiratory protection programs included the type of fit testing requirements that would be required to be in compliance with OSHA's respiratory protection standard. The same group of researchers then also looked at four specific facilities in Oklahoma. They were studying the effects of wet and dry methods on respirable crystalline silica and took a number of personal breathing zone samples and extrapolated those to 8-hour time-weighted averages so that they could be compared with the occupational exposure limits. And they also observed the type of work tasks and controls going on in those shops. You can see here from the table that the time-weighted averages were looked at based on what types of controls were being used. And as you add dry methods into the processes, you can see that the exposure levels increase. It's fairly straightforward. There's no complicated epidemiological analyses here because there's not a lot of data. But this, supports that as you go from all wet down to all dry, the exposures are generally increasing. They're over the TLV, the REL, and the PEL. Here, as I mentioned, the researchers also compared whether or not a shop had reported wet versus dry methods versus what was actually observed when they went into these types of facilities. So in most cases, the shops reported that for certain tasks, if not all tasks, they were doing them entirely wet, but the observations made it look like everything was done in at least some portions using dry methods. The countertop hazard alert includes a number of recommended controls to help prevent that. We recommended things ranging from wet methods to ventilation to isolation, supported by personal protective equipment. And that's supported by a variety of data. And the point here is really at the bottom. As you move from no controls to wet methods to expanded wet methods, which might be more than just a water spray on a particular tool. It's wetting down a surface before you cut it, and then adding in LEV, local exhaust ventilation. The exposures really drop, down to as low as 15 micrograms per meter cubed in some tasks, and depending on what the stone type is. So the points to take home here are that we have significant evidence of overexposure to silica both in the U.S. and then case reports where we're seeing severe health outcomes abroad. Awareness of this hazard is important both for public health in general and health practitioners. Like Kristen mentioned, we don't have a nationwide surveillance system right now, so improved monitoring as well as communications about the risks and the types of simple, straightforward controls that can be put in place in shops to prevent worker overexposure. And I just wanted to point you to these two additional resources. Both NIOSH and OSHA maintain topics pages on silica, and the OSHA page, osha.gov/silica, contains a link to the hazard alert itself. So if you're interested in reading it in its full version, you can download it from there. It's fairly easy to find. We just wanted to thank our NIOSH and OSHA colleagues and our colleagues at the New Jersey Department of Health for their input on the hazard alert and the presentation. And we'll take a couple of quick questions before our time is up. Sure. In the back.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks. So I have two questions on my mind. One is there any interest in expanding this inquiry into the non-manufactured quartz stone, things like corium, et cetera? I think there's some issues there as well. And the second question is, what would be the next step you see in order to plan a project?
Well, I'll talk about the first question. We're constantly looking at expanding our guidance, and when we have evidence that there are overexposures, trying to address that. So, if you're seeing sources of information, by all means, please share that with us so that we can take a look at it. Our contact information is here, but we'd like to see that. We're working on taking this a little bit further and trying to develop some worker-focused products. The hazard alert is fairly high-level, complicated. It's more geared towards IHs, employers, but we're looking at developing some things for workers. And obviously, the types of control methods would carry over. Kristen, do you want to talk about the research aspect of that, from NIOSH's perspective?
So NIOSH actually has a program or a project that is looking at developing engineering controls to assist some of these countertop shops with incorporating engineering controls into their workplace practices. It's just getting started. They are looking for more shops to work with. I do believe that they have a few in different parts of the country that they're working with, but they are interested in trying to expand that and looking at various different engineering controls.
Okay, thank you.
We take one more?
Yeah, we'll take one.
Are most of the manufacturing done in a shop versus
someone's home? That's a good question, and that was one of the challenges that we had in developing this hazard alert. There's not a lot of data. If you try to find what types of employers are doing, stone countertop cutting, finishing, polishing, it's difficult because so many individual contractors also work with this type of material. So they do it in people's homes when they're, cutting sink openings or finishing off the edges of countertops when they install them. So we really only have good data at best from some of the larger manufacturing plants.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.